Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. My name is Ramesh Ranganathan. I'm joined by DJ Roomaj. That's what we're calling, isn't it?
It's catching on.
What do you think?
I've heard a lot of people talk about it. On the way here, yeah, a lot of street talk.
Okay. That's it. Do you not like it?
No, we'll see how it plays out.
Okay, fine.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
And I'm also joined by comedian and hip-hop fan Mark Smith.
Mark Smith, yeah, hello.
What would your rap name be?
Flowjob.
Flowjob?
Yeah.
Not sure.
I'm 100% away.
We are...
Because also, you'll be like, oh, what are you doing tonight? I'm going to go see Flowjob. And then your girlfriend or wife will be like, that sounds like Flowjob. Just say that in her head. And then probably get a Flowjob. I don't know. I'm not really...
So if I could get a blowjob from Power of Suggestion, mate, yeah. I'd be loving it.
I carry bananas around all day.
Oh my God. So, Mark, you're a massive hip-hop fan, right? So basically what's going to happen is, on this podcast, we're going to talk hip-hop, we're going to discuss our issues with hip-hop. Okay. Mark's going to talk about why he got into hip-hop. Roomaj is just going to be dropping the bomb every now and again. What do you think of the name, Hip Hop Saved My Life?
A bit wordy, isn't it?
Well, can I tell you the other options that we had?
Yeah.
Because I wanted to sort of base it on my name. We had Romy Said Knock You Out.
All right.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, keep going.
Don't Call It a Romback. Yeah?
Yeah.
Straight Out of Romton.
Yeah, it's Straight Out of Crawley.
Oh, yeah, or Straight Out of Crawley, if I don't want to be too.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But there's...
Rom DMC.
No.
Ill Romatic.
Yeah. That reminds me, I think of Aromatic, then I think of the duck.
3 feet high in Ramesh Ranganathan.
yeah, definitely.
It takes a nation of millions to hold us, Ramesh. What do you think of that?
I feel like you've got to a point and then, forgotten what you were doing with the name.
Yeah, that happened. Have you got any suggestions for the...
Good
Roomaj stepping in with some suggestions.
Fear of a Ramesh planet.
Yeah, go on, have you got any?
I think... Hip Hop Podcast with Mark Smith. Maybe leave your name out of it entirely, and I'll just take over the format and try and push boundaries, mate. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, mate. Just trying to stop myself from punching you in the fucking face right now. That's all. Roomaj, you got any titles?
I just had one.
Go on.
The Fear of a Romish Planet.
Oh, that was your suggestion.
Yeah, that's
I
it.
Thought you were just making a joke one for to help Mark. Okay.
36
feet high and rising.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so Hip Hop Saved My Life, that's what we're going with. I really like that.
I'm happy with any of them, mate. I think they're all good. It's not. I wouldn't worry too much about that at the minute.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, should we move on then?
Well, it's not for me to say, but yeah, let's move on.
Okay, fine. You're trying to take over the format.
Here's a little bit that we like to call How Did You Get Into Hip Hop?
So, Mark Smith.
Yeah.
Lovely to have you here. Thanks a lot for joining us. How'd you get into hip hop?
How'd I get into it? I don't know, I think when I was about, I tried to buy, my first album I ever bought was Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff.
Good start.
And I was about, probably like 10, and I got home and they put the wrong CD in the case, and what I had instead was a band called Green Jello, like a...
Green Jello?
Like a heavy metal...
Yeah.
Like novelty metal sort of band. Yeah. I didn't know that because I didn't really check the CD, so I put it in the thing and it started up and I thought, oh, Will Smith and that Jeff are really mucking about now. Yeah, come on, wait for the drop, Jazz. And then it never came. And I quite liked Green Jello, so it wasn't a total disaster. So that's how I got into hip hop.
That's how you got
into
hip hop.
That's the last hip hop album that ever is bought. You've never listened to it since.
Hate it.
Thanks for coming in.
Wow.
But then I was like, yeah, 10 or 11. And I think at that point, you just sort of, you're not old enough to start rebelling, but you're just looking at stuff that's a bit different. My dad was always into soul and all that sort of music. And I thought, it's an extension of that, really. That's my initial thoughts on it.
What was the first actual album you bought, like hip-hop album, that actually had the correct CD in the cover?
Let's wait and see. I'll
Green Jello's rap album.
The eponymous rap debut.
One time they branched away from heavy metal.
There's some kid, like, dressed all in black with his Green Jello cover, just really disappointed. Parents just don't understand. Just on rotation.
Rack your brains. Give it some thought. What was the first hip-hop album you bought?
My first rap album, it would have been something really poor. It would have been like Mace or something like that.
What you know about going out, head west, red legs, TVs, all up in the headrest. Try and live it up, ride you a bigger truck, peace all glittered up, stick a kid, nigga, what?
Mace is a, isn't he a
preacher
now? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he was, he's back in the game, I think, now.
What?
I think so, yeah.
Mace, they're back in the game, everybody, remember my name. That was my Mace impression, what do you think?
That's good.
Yeah.
Write that down, actually.
So the preaching didn't work out, so he got back into hip hop.
Well, can you imagine him, somebody with that voice trying to get you to get like, get passionate about spirituality?
Just nodding off.
You know, there's a land beyond. Well, there's existing here.
Get a little bit of it up a bit.
You know, there's riches beyond your wildest dreams in heaven.
So you're a fan of Mace? You got that down.
Am I a fan of Mace?
Yeah,
I like. I've not got a problem with him.
No.
You know, for like that sort of bad boy records era.
Was he
all
part
right?
of that? He was part.
Yeah,
of
he was part
boy.
Of that. Yeah,
yeah. He was like, he was all produced by.
Yeah, go and see me and I kick it. That was one of his lyrics, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I just made that up.
What was that one?
Yeah.
There was that
bad,
song.
Bad, bad, bad boy.
That's it.
I had that on loop.
You make
for
me
a couple
feel
of
so good. And I liked. I'll tell you what else I liked. I really liked the My Money, My Problems video, where they're in the, do you know they're in
floating
that vertical, the drop, you know the parachute jump, you know the tunnel,
the gravity thing. Yeah.
And they're all sort of going,
yeah.
And then they've got like tracksuits on there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's wicked.
Yeah.
I remember watching that thinking, I wish I was in My Money, My Problems.
We can recreate that for the publicity for this podcast.
All right, wicked.
Yeah. How old are you, Mom?
36.
Right, so how old were you when you were getting into it? How old were you when that came out, for example?
Where is this questioning going to?
I'm just curious.
It's information for his rival podcast.
Because yeah. I got into it, I was just a bit too young to be really into like Biggie.
Yeah.
And Tupac.
Biggie!
I got into it later on.
Yeah.
But I wasn't there for the.
Who'd you prefer, Biggie or Tupac?
Definitely Biggie.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's a stupid question, and in fact, I might leave. That's a very offensive thing to ask.
Hold on. What? Okay, right. Why is that an offensive question to ask? By the way, let me just point out, I am a Biggie. I'm Biggie.
Yeah.
Right, but why is that a dumb question?
It's not really. I think I like Tupac. But they're just different, aren't they? Like
Tupac?
Tupac is a story.
Can we just put out that? Tupac couldn't really rap. Can we just say that?
Thank
he you, couldn't
yeah.
really
he's,
rap.
He's a proper actor. Yeah. He was like acting drama
yeah.
school, wasn't he?
Talented actor. I thought he was great in Juice.
Yeah.
Good in Juice. Sip the juice. I got enough to go around. And the thought takes place uptown. I grew up on a sidewalk while on street talk. And then taught the whole New York. I go to Queens for Queens to get the food from Brooklyn. Make money in Manhattan and never been took it. Go uptown to the Bronx and boogie down. Go strong on the island, recoup and lay around. He was good in Juice, right? He was good in Poetic Justice. I thought that was a nice little thing.
Is that John Singleton? Was it just, no,
it was John Singleton with Janet Jackson. And
Boys
and they're driving around in a poster van or whatever. Was it Ice Cube in
that?
Pardon?
Should remake that.
They should remake it, yeah. Mm. That definitely needs a remake, or at least a sequel.
Yeah.
When I watched the end of, are you talking about Poetic Justice or Juice?
Yeah, I was going to say something else about Juice.
Poetic Justice, when that ended, I thought, where's this going to go? I really need to know.
Yeah, what's next?
There's not been enough justice, and it hasn't enough of a poetic element.
I don't know poetry whatsoever.
Where's this story going to go? But Juice was wicked, right?
Actually, yeah, I loved Juice. Good
you know when they had the DJ battle?
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah, I wanted to be that guy.
Yeah, me
and look
too.
Where you are now, Rumash.
Yeah,
look at you, Rumash.
That's worked
You're
out.
Practically, yeah.
As good as, if not better, than whatever his name is from Juice.
But anyway, back to the point. Tupac couldn't rap.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. I agree with you. I think I like him still because I think he made some really good stuff. But it wasn't like I never went, oh, he's an amazing MC.
Mm.
That was brilliant. But you look at Biggie and you think, well, that is what, for me, that's what rap is. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The ha, you never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight because I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. There's a video on YouTube and it's Biggie Smalls when he's like 16.
Oh, yeah.
On the corner. On the corner, he's freestyling, he's battling some guy. And it's, you can't really make out everything he's saying.
Yeah.
But that to me is exactly what rap is. It's just like a DJ and an MC. And I never thought that if you had Tupac in there, with a DJ, same DJ, same setup, I never thought, like, I wouldn't be blown away by that. It's just a guy, all right, mate, I know about your troubles. Back off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a white man, I understand your problem.
From Derby.
The thing about Tupac is, like, he would, like, do, like, a female empowerment song.
Yeah, he'd have
a and then his very next track would be, yeah. And he's sucking on my dick because he, like, he probably, like.
What's that one about having a baby? Was it Brenda's got a baby?
Brenda's got a baby,
yeah. I used to love that.
Yeah.
In the video, she throws a baby in the bin.
Does she?
Yeah.
Like the black cat, white, like the cat lady.
She was ahead of her time.
Do you reckon that was her tribute to Tupac?
Yeah, I think she was actually a massive.
I would love it if she'd have thrown up the dub to the camera after she threw the cat in. We're third, Arena.
That'd have been incredible. So Tupac overrated. And if anybody's got a problem with that, they can tweet in. Mark Smith, what's your handle?
His name is I Hate Tupac.
My first hip-hop album was MC Hammer, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him. I don't know if you remember that. Do you remember that album?
What were the big hits on that one?
You Can't Touch This.
Is that a real question? It was that. Is that a real question?
Yeah.
You can't touch this.
It sounded like that was like his third album or something.
Here comes the Hammer.
Yeah, I got into MC Hammer when he sort of went through his sort of slightly more nuanced
this religious phase.
Sort of like, maybe you can touch this. That was one of the tracks on there. Just really reconsidering his position on it all.
Good.
You know what I mean? He did a song on there, like, because he was quite religious, wasn't he? Was he like?
Yeah.
He did a song called, like,
Pray
Soft
Tune.
Yeah, Pray. Yeah. There you go. That was.
I think he might have been quite religious. I don't know. I don't know what it was about.
I'll give it away.
Listening really carefully to his speech. I think it might be Pray or I Love Jesus. Or
I don't think he was religious.
MC Hammer. Like, I wasn't old enough for that. Really.
Yeah.
Him and Vanilla Ice were my two first memories of novelty rappers, which now are all over the radio.
Weren't they supposed to be big rivals, but it wasn't really a thing?
Vanilla Ice was on Wogan.
Was it?
Either Vanilla Ice or MC Hammer, but they went massive. They were the first, like, over here.
Mm.
That's when, like,
breakthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like Westwood's street value went through the roof when people realised that hip hop was actually a big thing.
Yeah, we sell records over here.
Yeah. But Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him is a good record.
I'm not doubting you, mate.
The video is not so great. Too Legit to Quit. Do you remember the video to that?
No.
I remember that.
Adam's Family. Do you remember that?
For the film.
They do what they want to do, say what they
want. Yeah, I think I do. Was he dancing with that hand or whatever?
Yeah.
Thing.
Is it Thing?
No, the
thing was the one with the hair.
It.
No. Oh, the
What's
hand.
The thing then?
Thing's the thing with the hair, yeah.
Oh, the hand is it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Yeah, but that's brilliant. And it's its final credits, isn't it? That kicks in. What a great film. Oh, it's got even better.
Yeah.
Let's stay.
And then, so Hammer had Adam's Family, Vanilla Ice, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Oh, did he?
I don't remember that.
Wow. What was it called?
Something to do with Ooze. Have I said that? I don't know. Because Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1
had
the turtle rap.
We just call it Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles. Who did the turtle?
Yeah, sorry.
That was their own.
Yeah, sorry, Mark.
Don't be a dick. Like Godfather 1. What are you on about? Yeah.
All right, sorry. Cool, blimey.
That was their own. Who did the turtle rap? The turtles.
Splinter.
No, the turtle rap was done by, I can't remember the name of the group, but it was just, that was the only song they ever did. Mm. But the song went like, on the half shell, they're the heroes for, in this day and age, who could ask for more?
I mean, we say we're into hip hop. But all we're talking about is,
do you know what, guys? I'm fed up. Can you imagine that? I just want to do like a hip hop podcast where we're talking about the real shit.
Yeah.
So anyway,
maybe that's our angle.
The turtle rap.
What do you think about MC Hammer? Was he religious?
Groundbreaking.
Okay, but my first proper hip hop album, like that's not novelty rap, as you call it, was Texas Nation of Million Styles about Public Enemy.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah. She Watched Channel Zero. That was my favourite little. She Watched Channel Zero, such a great song. Do you know that? Remember that?
Yeah.
With the Slayer sample. The woman makes the men all pause. And if you got a woman, she might make you forget yours. There's a five-letter word to describe her character. But her brain's being washed by an actor. And every real man that tries to approach, come the cold thing comes, it gets just like a rope. I think Public Enemy, what's your opinion on Public Enemy?
I think they're very important, but it's not something I listen to. I don't, it's not on my phone. It's not. Yeah. It's just not something. I respect that it exists, and that's good.
It's such a good shout, man, because like Takes a Nation of Millions, wicked when it came out, right? Fear of a Black Planet, great album. Yeah, it just hasn't. But like, apparently they recorded that album, like, do you know how they recorded the album?
So
they
went skip.
Well, they went into some room and then like
the top
side. Yeah, loaded turtles.
They went into the room and like they just started dicking about with loads of equipment and recorded everything and then like listened back to it and then got snippets of it. The first came out as amazing, but like, as you said, you just don't. I don't know if it, like, there's a few tracks that bear revisiting, but like, yeah, I agree with you. You don't. It's not like.
I'm also not into like. Sorry to cut you off, Rob.
No, it's alright. I mean, I was going nowhere.
I've got to dig you out.
I stopped listening.
Yeah, I'm not really into sort of overly political rap.
Oh, really?
Anyway, yeah, I think like there's a limit. I think like Public Enemy is different because, as I say, it was important then. For its time, and it's original then as well.
Yeah.
But then even like, I don't like it when someone like even Talib Kweli, when he goes a bit political. I'm just like, oh mate, fast forward. Or Immortal Technique when he goes mad about someone going on Nicaragua. Like, relax, boy, it's fine.
Well, the problem I have with that is I don't have enough general knowledge to know if what they're saying is correct or not.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So like, when if somebody sounds angry about something, then I assume
believe them.
It's like if some,
now your viewpoint.
Exactly, because like somebody I think is cool thinks that, so then that must be my viewpoint as well.
Yeah, I agree with whatever he says.
Yeah, that was okay.
Oh, yeah?
Love that,
quite venomously. MC Hammers.
Yeah, that was one of the lyrics from you might be able to touch this when I think about it.
But there's a lot of those, I think, albums from early 90s that haven't really aged that well. I think like I got into it at the point when I think it was the golden age, but I'm going to say that because I'm just nostalgic.
Yeah.
So like Mobb Deep and that sort of stuff is when I really got into it. But yeah, I think that's just because that age, aren't you?
But having said that, I know you don't like political stuff, but like if you listen to...
I don't dislike it.
No,
I don't like
but that's not what you go for, but necessarily. But like, say for example, if you have someone like Clips, for example, right, who I think's like the bit that sonically are great, but they only do ever talk about one thing, which is like selling drugs, right?
Yeah.
Do you ever get to a point where you're sick of hearing that, or if the song is good enough, then I just keep listening to that forever. I don't care what they're talking about.
I get bored of anything that's just been done over and over again. Like the whole era of Bitches and Bling, that's dead.
Oh God, I thought okay.
And yeah,
it's embarrassing to me.
But yeah, that's
still getting rehashed. I've got to recall.
But that's getting rehashed non-stop, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's if you said to someone that you like rap, they normally assume they normally scoff a little bit. Like you're an idiot, then they'll assume that you mean that you want to have like chains and all that. That's not what it is though anymore, right? But that's what they still see it as.
Yeah.
But they'll still anything like that. If it's political and it's on over and over again, I get bored. If it's Bitches and Bling, I get bored. If it's like Clips, you can't listen to that forever.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing it in a new, interesting way.
Yeah.
What they forget is when people first started doing that, like Raekwon, like Iron Man, right? That album, where it is like Tales from the Street, but it's like there's loads of subtext there. They're talking about quite important stuff underneath this veneer of
but
Clips are just saying it's not just Clips, there's a lot of people, but it's like they're just saying what's happening rather than the importance of what's happening. There's no subtext to it, I don't think.
Yeah.
And so people grow up listening to Wu-Tang and they go, oh yeah, okay, we'll rap about the gang life, right? Forgetting that actually Wu-Tang is really layered and really interesting.
Yeah.
And that's why you still listen to 36 Chambers. Because all that stuff, a lot of it is, first of all, irrelevant because I'm a white kid in Derby. But also because I've heard it loads of times.
But you know the struggle, though, despite that, don't you?
Boy, I know the struggle.
Yeah. Derby and the struggle. Shaolin.
So you are political, then.
Very much so, but I'm also a fine actor. So when I said earlier I'm not political, I'm not climbing sink of me.
I sometimes find Wu-Tang, like, Like I had the new the latest Ghostface album. I don't know if
it's
season. It all sounds season. The same as it did.
Well, not just that, but it's, some of it is a lot of effort to listen to. What I mean is, like, sometimes you have, there's so much to decode, and when you listen to it, even if he's telling a story, there's so much shit going on there. It's like sometimes just. Oh, bloody hell, mate. It's like a really complicated Pulp Fiction or something.
Yes, because there's nothing wrong with, not like I said about that video of Biggie, just having a quite straightforward beat.
Yeah, exactly.
And
an
MC. And that's what I think hip-hop is, right? It's just nice and simple. It's not got to have that mid-90s, like 16 bars, female singer, 16 bars, female singer, end. It can just be nice and simple. And yeah, Ghostface, that's his strength, isn't it? But but I think he's at a point now, he's like 75. He's like, he's thinking, I need to sort of keep up with the young'uns. But then that's what he has, because someone like Joey Badass comes through, calls his first album 1999, and it's just an homage to that. Mm. And it's showing that people still want that, because it is that's never going to go out of fashion. You can dress everything up as much as you want, but that is still the core of it.
Ghostface, that I'm all for bling or whatever, you know, you want to like show how well you do. That eagle.
Nice eagle.
Come on, mate. You've got to chill out.
What eagle?
He's got a real pet eagle.
Has he?
Yeah.
Incredible. what, he takes it to where he goes?
Yes. Yeah. Ghostwriter.
What's it called?
I don't know. Like Glenn. Bubbles or something.
Glenn the Eagle.
Glenn Eagle. Oh, was that deliberate?
Podcast.
Oh, my God. That was incredible.
not bad, is it?
What are your first joke of the podcast?
Of mine, mate. Of mine.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, man, what's your favorite hip-hop album?
Mark Smith, we're asking every guest. You're the first one. We're asking every guest to tell us what their favorite hip-hop album is.
Mm-hmm.
What is yours?
All right, thanks. mine is Mad Villainy.
That's your favourite hip hop album of all time?
All time.
Okay, why?
All time. you don't sound happy with this, do you?
No, just
there's no wrong or right answer.
There's no wrong or right.
What if I said?
There's no wrong or right answer.
Every idea is a good idea. Pardon?
My favourite album is Pure and Simple by Hearsay.
Listen, mate, don't
the point
get...
is, there is a wrong answer. That's what I'm saying. That's a wrong answer.
That's another joke.
Yeah,
Jesus,
that's two in a row,
Mark
mate.
Smith.
I know.
We'll have you on again.
Is it a new
not
bit?
Not for a while.
Is it a new bit? You
Pardon?
Said my name again. Is it a new bit?
No, no, sorry, carry on.
Right,
sorry.
That's quite confusing now, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay, if I'm doing a new bit, I'll say Mark Smith.
Okay,
if I'm just talking to you, I'll say Mark. But not then, that was just... I'm just
living off borrowed time, the clock tick faster. That'll be the hour they knock the slick blaster. Dick Dastardly and Muttley with sick laughter. A gunfight and they come to cut the mix master. ICE Cole, nice to be old. Y2G's D twice to threefold. He sold scrolls, lo and behold. Know who's the illest ever, like the greatest story told.
Keep right, Mark, why is it Mad Villainy? Can you explain to us... what this album
yeah,
is about
so Mad
and why Villainy, it's your favourite album of all time.
You both know what Mad Villainy is.
Not off.
Okay, so Mad Villainy is it's MF Doom and Madlib. And the album now is 11 years old, which is scary because I remember I was smoking so much weed at the time that when the album,
unbelievable.
I know, sorry, can you edit that out?
That is, by the way, we're not endorsing that.
No.
But Mark,
there's a reason I want to jump off a building.
Yeah, come on.
I was smoking so much weed at the time before the album came out, and I was so excited that I assumed everybody would be wanting the album.
Can I just stop you there 1 second?
Mid flow.
Can I just stop you there? Smoking weed is not a good reason to get into an album, because that is the reason
no.
I bought three copies of Warren G, Regulate G Funk Area.
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some search for the E so I could get some phones rolling in my ride, chilling all alone. Just hit
Why three?
I wanted a copy from my portable music player.
Yeah.
I wanted a copy for home.
Yeah.
And I wanted a copy
for the portable. Take it home with you.
No, but I didn't. I wanted it to be
a gift
there
for the house.
Yeah, basically.
That is amazing. What was the third one for?
Pardon?
What was the third one
just
for?
Generally just generally, if you go to parties or whatever.
You never took it out of its wrapper.
Yeah. Never home without it.
Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Oh, yes, I wasn't smoking weed. That's not why I like the album.
Okay.
But as it was coming out, it was about to come out on the Monday. And I went to the shop early for opening time because I assumed that everybody would want to buy it and there'd be a queue of people. And I got there, it was me and one of my Indian guys.
One of the stone dudes.
Different album he's after.
Yeah, it's good to meet you.
Yeah,
thank you. He's after the new Green Lobe.
He's returning the Green Cello album that the wrong CD.
It's my favourite album because it's the most densely layered rap album that I've ever listened to, and it's the most excited I've got listening to an album at any point. I listened to it the first few times. It's like a jazz album. You don't know what is coming next. Like, you've got no idea what's happening for the first few listens. And even now, I listen to it probably every week still now.
Really?
Yeah. I listen to it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a lot of crossover and collaboration in hip-hop, which I think is a great thing, and I think it's something that sets it aside from other genres. Because I think you have, like comedy, you have sort of quite distinct personalities, and yeah, they come together, and when that happens and it's good, it can be amazing. And this was a mixture of Madlib and Boom. Madlib being one of the best producers, one of the best living producers in the world, I think.
He's dead now, isn't he?
No.
Oh.
And
I mean, he literally just said one of the best living producers in the world.
We've been doing this for half an hour.
Couldn't have given you more of a clue.
He's ganging up on me.
He's a dead rapper, isn't he?
Oh, that dead rapper.
Who is the producer?
Rest his soul. Mm.
Jay Dilla. You're doing Jay Dilla.
Oh yeah, that's it.
They never collaborated, did they? Sorry, no, I was just doing.
Jay Dilla.
isn't he in the bottom three dead?
Did they ever do anything with Jay Dilla before he died?
Oh, man, hip hop gripes. One of my hip hop gripes. I think that live hip hop is atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it. There you go. I think it's awful. I think I love hip hop more than any other form of music. I almost exclusively listen to it. But live, have either of you heard of Cannibal Ox?
Yeah.
Right.
Cold Vein, great. Mm. Incredible album, right? Mm. Such a good album. When it first came out, couldn't believe it.
That's an amazing album.
Oh, it's so good, right? Mm. My sound, mechanical found gold, but my kettle is animal found gold. One of those albums where you either love it, or I remember playing it to someone and went, I don't even think this is music. Right? So it's such a good like dark
Rupert.
Alpha
Roomage.
Anyway, so they were playing in some like pub in North London. Like, this is when they first come out.
Yeah.
And me and a mate went to go and watch them, and we're so excited, Just couldn't believe it. I've been listening to Cold Vein back to back like for so long, you know, probably all I've been listening to, mm-hmm. right? Turn up there. First of all, one of them didn't turn up. Right?
Wu-Tang.
And then what he did was he performed about three tracks off the album half-assed, and then a sound quality dog shit, by the way, right? Performed three tracks, and then they did. This is my biggest issue with hip hop acts, right? Is when they go, who out here likes real hip hop? And everyone goes, yeah. Mm. And they go, who likes Slick Rick? And then they start playing a Slick Rick track. And then we're not at a disco, man.
Also, I think, like, if you want Big L to rest in peace, stop fucking bothering
him. Oh my God.
You bother him every 5 minutes at a hip hop gig. Shut up.
Who remembers Biggie? Okay, dude.
Yeah, we're at a rap gig, mate. I'm at a rap gig. Of course I know what you're talking about. Get out of my sight.
Are you surprised that I know who Biggie... Sorry, are you genuinely conducting some sort of survey? Or you want to find out if we've heard a Biggie?
I'll 5 minutes of my time. I'll do it after the gig. But during the gig, do your music and then fuck off.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Because it is a common thing. Why?
It's call and response. It's just a way of connecting, isn't it, I think. Because I imagine... doing music, I think it must be quite hard to know if you're doing really well at a gig or doing really badly, because they're going to clap at the end anyway, aren't they?
I went to watch Vampire Weekend.
They'll put on a show though.
Yeah. And they don't bother doing any of that crap in between. The songs. No. Like, the sound is incredible, right? The stage is set up beautifully. They've obviously done soundtracks with her. It looks nice. They've got a lovely, they've got a lovely backdrop, right? And there's very little banter in between the songs, and it's just bang.
And you it's slick as well.
Yeah, it's wicked.
But if you want to see like a good show, a good hip hop show, you've got to go and see like Kanye West, which is so upsetting. Yeah, like,
I know,
because it's big stadium things though, so they have.
Yeah, but
to...
even when he was doing like Boiler Room sets, he had simple things like an introduction onto stage. I mean, how often do you see that?
Yeah.
I want to see John Wayne. Do you know John Wayne?
I've heard of him.
Like LA-based rapper producer.
Good
really
name.
Good. Yeah, he's. I think he's excellent. He's very hipster. He's
is
on
he,
Stone
is he dead?
He will be soon.
Right. But the actor John Wayne is dead.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And he really
that's who I should be talking about.
Yeah. John Wayne,
the rapper.
The rapping cowboy. He comes on in his spurs, his chaps.
Yeah. Then you just know it's him. You hear him coming.
Then you've almost him happy. And that's a good show.
You see the horse come on and you think, oh, John Wayne must be arriving soon.
But he doesn't, and that's what throws you. 5 minutes later.
And you go, oh, no, guys, remember, he's dead.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, yeah, so you're not going to see John Wayne. But who remembers Biggie?
Yeah, it's all right, mate.
Big L, rest in peace.
Oh, Christ.
Big L just must be just thinking, dude, I just don't... Just let me chill out.
Nicked his joke.
Did I? Can we leave that in? So everyone knows I'm a joke thief. Big L, rest in peace. Okay, Mark Smith.
Yo.
Have you got a hip-hop gripe you want to share?
I've got several. I don't like it how rap or hip-hop as a term is just chucked around. Like... It seems to be that if you're American and black and you make any sort of music, they will just call it hip-hop.
Yeah.
So you're allowed to make pop music, but if you're Will.i.am, they'll still call him hip-hop.
Yeah.
And it really annoys me because that's not what it is. It's a style and it's an entire culture, hip-hop. And it's not just like, oh, a black guy is playing some pop music, therefore it's this. It really winds me up. Black Eyed Peas, for example, I think their first two albums are excellent, like Beyond the Front and Bridging the Gap.
Yeah.
I think they're really good albums, and they're the albums that you listen to and you go, oh, this is proper live hip-hop, I'd love to go and see these. Then they recruit that lady, what's her name?
Fergie.
Yeah.
Apparently they were forced to recruit her, weren't they?
Well, the record company.
Yeah, apparently they said you're going to get dropped unless you picked that.
Yeah, and so they totally changed everything, right? They changed everything. They made it like a real upbeat, like party pop group. And that's nothing wrong with that. You're allowed to do
that.
Where
is the love?
Yeah. You don't call it hip-hop. It's not... Just because Will.i.am is black and so is Taboo.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's rap. Like, you can't just...
I think
just label everything like that just for that reason.
I think UK media are guilty of that as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
If you're black and you wear sunglasses sometimes when you're not supposed to, then you're rapper.
Rap star.
Like, I remember I think Labyrinth has been referred to as a rap star. Do you remember Mark Morrison?
Yeah.
When Mark Morrison got sent down, rapper, bad boy, rapper Mark Morrison.
Yeah, he's R&B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it winds me up so much. I'm sure there's loads of examples.
Go on, give us another gripe, Mark.
Another gripe, Eminem's career since about 1999.
Wow. Now, Romesh is going to upset Roomage a lot because he's a massive Eminem fan.
You're more of an Eminem fan.
What's your problem? Don't make judgments about how much of an Eminem fan I am, Roomage.
Here he's tweeting from his concerts.
what is your beef with Eminem's?
I don't have a beef.
Hold on. Post-99 Eminem, what's your beef?
Well, is it? I don't even know what year it was. But so is
Slim Shady LP, you liked it?
Yeah.
Marshall Mathers LP, you liked it?
Not really.
You didn't like the Marshall Mathers LP?
Which one's first? Which one's the first big one?
The Dre one.
Yeah.
Well, Slim Shady LP had My Name Is.
Yeah, and then, I think that's a good album.
And then Marshall Mathers LP had, what is it? The Real
Stan.
Slim Shady and Stan and all that.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
You didn't like that
one? Because it went a bit poppy.
Well, yeah, but look, I'll preface it by saying Eminem is a phenomenal MC.
Nice he's a preface.
He's a brilliant...
sort of word he would use.
Probably. Yeah. He wouldn't anymore, because now he just chants. Just weird. Anyway, he's a really great MC. Like, there's no doubt about it. You listen to him on stuff like... this is a good sign of if I can tell how good a rapper is when you see it on... You see him guest on someone else's album. Like, he's got that one on The Blueprint with Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And he absolutely mullers it.
Murdered him on his own shit.
Absolutely. Yeah, who is that? That was a beef track, wasn't it? Who said
that?
Nas said it, didn't he?
Yeah. But he absolutely mullered that. And it was like, well, you're rapping there alongside Jay-Z. You made him look like a beginner.
Yeah.
Like, he's an amazing MC. And that first, his first album, Infinite, you listen to Infinite. Yeah. And it's like, he's like this quite upbeat, quite nice guy. It's the sort of rap you can have on in the party where your grandma's at.
Yeah,
like you're allowed to.
In fact, you'd encourage it. That'd probably be. You should have called it the grandma album.
Yeah, she brought the album with her. So I'll put it on.
Green Jello, and then the Infinite.
Yeah, just on loop.
Yeah,
three copies.
So that's like his first thing, and then he gets with Dre, and I love that first album that they did together, and that was great, and that was just amazing, really funny as well.
Guilty Conscience.
Yeah, like funny. So many funny tracks as well. He's a funny guy. He's obviously smart, and he's very skilled. And then as soon as he starts working with Dre, he just turns into a pop princess. And now he's gone from being pop star to doing this weird druid-like chanting about how angry he is at everything. It's no longer rap. He's just now, I'm so angry because
he knows that though, doesn't he?
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't know. Does that make it any better or worse? Mm. And it's fine because he's chosen to do that and go and build an empire and be worth £1 billion. And that's fine. Like that's absolutely fine. Of course it is. But I think the fans he had at the start aren't there anymore for that reason. It's teenage girls, it's 12-year-old girls that are buying the music.
Eminem. He started. I like. By the way, I'm going to put myself out there as an Eminem. I like Eminem.
Yeah.
All right.
I can see from your t-shirt, mate.
Yeah, but what I would say is he keeps trying out different voices. He started doing it on the Marshall Mathers LP, right? He just rapped normally, and then he suddenly did that cleaning out my closet when he's I'm so sick and I'm and then like
I don't want to clean my room.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought at first I thought I hope he's just going to do that on that one track and then like not do it anymore. But he started doing it, and then he started doing this sort of almost Indian accent. Like it was so weird. Wow. Sort of like.
That's Chinese, isn't it?
This is not going out.
That's not Indian, mate.
He did some sort of funky ethnic voice. Anyway, that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
And then, like on his last album, he sort of stopped doing that. But he's gone pop. I mean, I
couldn't even tell you the name of an album or a song of his for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
It's just, he's so far off the radar.
There's a lot of things that we could pick, but what's the weekly topic?
So this is our weekly topic of something currently going on in hip-hop that I've got a problem with. I've tweeted out about this topic just this morning to get some responses. Yeah. I've been inundated.
Flooding in.
No way.
I tweeted about my issues with Iggy Azalea this morning, right?
Right.
Now, my issue with Iggy Azalea is this. Basically, the controversy about Iggy Azalea is she's appropriated black culture, right? And it's not just that she's appropriated black culture. The fact is, if you listen to Iggy Azalea, right, she's sort of, this is how she raps. First things first, I'm a realist. I'm going to take off your motherfucker's fearless, right? She's Australian.
You forget, though.
And then you hear her interview, and it's like, I just came over to the States to sort of see how my rap. What?
Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
What I don't understand is it's so clear that she is just a creation of a label.
Yeah.
Because if she had been doing live shows from the beginning, they'd have been like, yeah, it's good. It's just. Are you going to drop that black voice?
I know.
When are you going to drop that?
Because that's insane.
Good impression of a rapper, that Iggy. But when are you going
to? If somebody said to you, "Oh, comedian Iggy Azalea doing her Deep South rap impersonation," you believe that as a parody?
Yeah.
Mm. Except it's not. Mm. It's not parody. It's actually what she's doing. I can't believe. And like, I was talking about this to my brother, and my brother said, "Yeah, but Eminem's doing the same thing, but he's not because Eminem's
been. That's how he talks and how he is.
Exactly. This is how he is.
Yeah. But I mean, I think." There's been a history of this, like Elvis Presley, right? Like he was doing black
Australian,
music.
Famously Australian.
Famous Australian blonde lady.
Yeah.
he was doing black music. And then Eminem, people moaned about it. But I think with less right than this. Because here, it's like they have put a black lady's voice over just a generic pop star.
Yeah.
And it's so jarring to see it. And also, she's a real piece of shit, just generally with the appropriation of black culture. She doesn't seem to understand what she's doing at all. She just doesn't get it.
No.
Like, no one's told her.
I do think that, like, okay, so there's this thing about, like, how in America, like, there's this thing about Justin Bieber and Iggy Azalea and these people, and Justin Timberlake's another one, that's been put in this pool of white artists of appropriated black culture.
Yeah.
And then the criticism they've been getting recently is,
that with like what happened with Ferguson and all this stuff, why are these eyes that are so quick to appropriate black culture in this instance have not said anything about black issues?
Yeah.
Now, I don't actually think that's a valid argument. Because
Bieber getting back to that would be like, all right, Justin, don't talk about
it. Who gives a shit what Justin Bieber thinks about Ferguson? Do you know what I mean? Like, why do you want him to speak out? I don't want to hear what Iggy Azalea's got to say about it. I don't care. Mm. Like, they don't have an obligation to talk about it. They've got an obligation to stop making the music they're making. Mm. I mean, Iggy Azalea, I've got the most problem with. I think it's because she's Australian. The main thing is because she's Australian, not because I've got an issue with Australians.
I hate them.
But she's not rapping how she talks.
Yeah.
And this is the whole thing when UK hip hop was first started.
Yeah,
there was a big thing about UK rappers that put on American accents.
Yeah. Mark being Blade and all that.
Yeah, yeah, all of that stuff. And I just think you've got to. But the fact of the matter is, the counter argument to that is if Iggy Azalea rapped with an Australian accent,
she wouldn't have got off the ground.
It wouldn't have been viable.
But in a genre like rap where the phrase like keeping it real gets banded around non-stop, it's amazing how many people just don't listen to that at all. They'll say it as a soundbite. But
yeah.
I mean, I hate it. I hate it in any music where they don't talk or sing. It's that Robbie Williams fake transatlantic drawl, isn't it? It's like he talks like he's from Stoke, but then he gets on stage and he's rawr. Or like Jake Bugg. Even Jake Bugg bangs on about being from Nottingham, but he sings like he's Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's the same thing with this. Like, it's different because obviously you've got the racial connotation as well, but
I don't.
And I'm sure she's said keeping it real in the past at some point.
She has done, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, she's got no idea what's going on.
She says first things first, I'm the realist.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's worse than saying you're a bit real. Yeah. Like if she just said first things first, I'm slightly real.
Yeah,
just
I'm realer than. Quick heads up. I'm realer than.
If she said I'm realer than Santa, I would accept it.
I wouldn't.
Right.
I still think that's the case to be answered for.
I've tweeted this out. Peter McGladdery has replied to me. You hear black, white, Asian kids anywhere in the UK doing what she does. US hip hop is their mainstream and they're approximating it. Difference is she's been encouraged to play up to the max as part of a multi-million dollar music marketing strategy. Peter McGladdery.
Was that over two tweets?
140 words.
That was over two tweets.
Well, you're not using Twitter properly, mate. Now piss off.
Right, I mean, Peter, I'm sorry about that. I can only apologise.
Well, Jack, I totally get what you're saying. I think it's
somebody else. Kate James says, makes me embarrassed to be Australian. That's true. Sylvia Taylor says, about as tasteful as a rat with a gold tooth.
What's that? A rat.
A rat, yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Splinter again.
What do you mean? Yeah.
Well, let's think about it. Like, why is that? Why is it? Have I missed something? Why is it tasteless?
Why is it tasteless?
A rat with a gold tooth.
Well, you wouldn't see a rat with a gold tooth and go, that is the ultimate in good taste, would you?
Well, what do you mean?
He wouldn't say tasteless.
I wouldn't assume that the rat has chosen that tooth. Yeah. Is it the tooth that's the tasteless bit? Or just the rat having a tooth?
No,
she got not, a second tweet
no, if it was the gold tooth, it would be about as tasteful as a rat's gold tooth. But what she's saying is it's about as tasteful as a rat with a gold tooth. The whole rat with the gold tooth.
So she's calling Iggy a rat.
No, she's not. She's not.
Look, let's say this then. So we're sat here. Rat walks in. Yeah. Smiles at us. What's he got?
Gold tooth. Yeah.
What's the first thing you say?
What's the fattest rat doing? And
it's about so as tasteful as Iggy Azalea. That's what I say.
And that's why you're on Mock the Week so often.
Lewis Vary has said, I don't see colour, so I can't help you. Lewis, please feel free to not contribute anymore to this.
But he can read tweets.
Yeah. You've got some serious brain problems. Put your head in front of that tube.
The point is, Iggy Azalea,
is this like Room 101?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, basically, I don't know my verdict is on her because, on one hand, I think it's hideous that she puts on the American accent or whatever and basically is a minstrel without blacking up.
Yeah.
But on the other side of it, she wouldn't be making music. Or she would be, but nobody would listen to it if she didn't do it. So it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I just sort of find the whole thing totally embarrassing. And again, it's another example of when people ask me what I'm into, I say rap, and there's always like a little wince from them, and it's because of this sort of shit.
Yeah,
they think I'm at home listening to Iggy Azalea. I'm not. I'm watching her and jacking off, but I'm not listening to her.
God,
okay.
You're keeping it real.
That's real. A little bit next. Is this being streamed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. That's
Iggy
cool.
Azalea, you've been told.
These are gonna blow your mind. Roo Madge YouTube fans.
Now this is a section where Roo Madge introduces us to something hip-hop related that he thinks we won't know. Is that right, Roo Madge?
This is like a hip-hop. This is more of an R&B and a bit of hip-hop in it.
Okay, and what is it?
It's a guy called Ice JJ Fish. Have you heard of him? This is his official music video called On The Floor.
It's something about the girl that just makes my head wanna twirl. Oh, you got me want to tell all them other girls. There's nothing else better on this world. Come on, I seen I was in shock.
That was Ice JJ Fish with, what's the name of the song, Rematch?
Who didn't hear it? He said it loads of times.
Floor, yeah.
I think that's the only lyric.
I reckon he was like, do you reckon it's like some sort of new style?
Like, yeah, I think he's like, you know what, guys?
That sort of gangster singing.
Yeah. And then he's seen 34 million views and he's gone, definitely.
Stick with
smashed it.
Yeah.
If you heard he was doing a gig, like, in London, would you go and see him?
What sort of question is that? Of course I'd go and see him.
Yeah, would you? What, for an hour?
I'd go for as long as it takes.
Once he's done that song, you think it's only going to be, then that's his banger.
Yeah.
That's
and everyone was shouting, do it again.
Yeah.
So you'd have to sit and watch an hour waiting to hear that tune of all his other stuff.
But there was something hypnotic about it, though.
I actually thought it was quite catchy.
It's like if David Lynch designed a rapper.
Yeah.
It's
a new character in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
How I felt when I listened to that was like the first time I felt when I first listened to Tease Me by Chuckie Demons and Pliers.
There you go.
And I grew to love that song.
Plug one, plug two, guest plugs for you.
Mark Smith.
I want to talk about Westwood some more. Well, so
next time. You'll definitely be back.
You are going to be back.
There's not many comedians.
Nobody's going to have the level of insight that you do. You're going to be on
I've learned anyway. Something. We've all learned something today.
Mark Smith, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
on the
me.
Inaugural Hip Hop Save My Life podcast.
First podcast.
Yeah. Is there anything that you're doing that you want to plug to both people that would be listening to this, which would be you and me? Do you need to give yourself a reminder of what you're up to?
I'll give a quick, just keep your chin up.
Yeah.
Stop. Don't wake up every day thinking that you need to quit comedy.
Wow, that's pretty dark.
That's to me. Is that advice to you?
That's to me.
You're looking at me quite squarely in the eyes, he said it.
I've got, in fact, something that I've done with old Rumaj coming out, the Nick Helm show. It's called Heavy Entertainment.
Yeah, I heard about that. When does it come out? Heard about that, Heavy Entertainment.
May, I believe.
Yeah, I heard about that show.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So it's a little while away.
You were going to come on and do a rap.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Probably for the best.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks for having me, man. Been a real pleasure.
Take care.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye. Bye. See you later, Rumaj.
Bye.
What a way to end. Pros.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.